I don't know. Listen, hearing someone speak in the English accent, it's like, oh, you gonna escort me, are you? I'm
just like, ah. Yeah, it's like, oh, they really play it up.
No, please. Doing psychic damage.
Like at like parties and stuff, and it's like, all right, I've had a lot of food, time to throw it all back up and eat more food.
What parties are you going to? Like the fucking
listen, all right, listen, the all right. Roman I live in DC, all right. All these fucking like senators and congressmen are all like Satanists. They all have like these like crazy ass parties where they're worshiping Baal.
Just like the Greek fucking like
sacrificing babies to like Moloch or whatever.
What fucking parties did they have in Greece where they like would eat? Like all, they would indulge in all this food and go throw up so they could just continue eating.
Oh, that's like a Dionysian thing or something.
That's just what DC is now.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have all the Greco-Roman architecture.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is the deep state is actually like a demonic cult.
Well, that was just.
Yeah, this is an open secret you learn when you move to DC pretty quickly. And you're like, oh, okay, the whole adrenochrome thing, that is just real. They just offer you that shit in the street.
I mean, Cat Williams told us that. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the entertainers, they all keep doing the demonic hand things. And, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Part of the cult.
Hello and welcome to the Weave Crew. I'm your host. So I don't know how to like transition like this podcast into talking about it. We went from talking about cars to vomiting to now like satanic conspiracy theories. This is an anime podcast. I'm your host, Psyotic. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mumi.
So how you transition it is you talk about how wholesome and Christian anime is because they don't have actors that are all signed by the devil.
Maybe like
the devil
voice
being
actors.
Harvey Weinstein.
I guess, in America, you know, like our like actor controversies are, oh, it's like they fucking like raped 50 women. Whereas in Japan, it's like this voice actress smoked weed once. And it's like, oh, and then she's not allowed to work in the industry anymore. Meanwhile,
this voice actress
like,
had an orgy with a band.
Oh, God. Yeah. And then it's like. And then this other actor, this actor killed two women in Ireland, and they are still allowed to work. I'm talking about Matthew Broderick for context. You know about that? You know Matthew Broderick killed two women in Ireland and just got away with it? Yeah.
We've never mentioned that on the podcast before.
Well, this is a car podcast now, so it's like, hold on, what car was he driving?
Oh, no.
What? Well, I gotta type this in out. What car? Oh, I'm typing with one sec.
Was Matthew Broderick driving when he killed or hit two women?
Yeah, hit two women. He was rented driving BMW. A rented. Of course, it was a fucking BMW. I swear to God, BMW. Everyone, you know, it's like the cool new thing right now is like hate on Tesla drivers. There is no greater fucking slime on this earth than BMW drivers. They are the biggest. Fucking assholes on the road.
You're not wrong. People kept giving me shit. They're like, oh, everyone's gonna think you're an asshole driver or something when I got my car. And like I never really paid attention to what cars people were driving, but now I pay attention.
And it's always a Beamer.
It's always a Beamer.
I don't know. I think it's just because like those are like more like rich cars, so they just think they can get away with it.
Yeah. They just
someone is listening to this right now in their BMW, and you honestly, you know, you're part of the problem.
If you're listening to us in your BMW, just take a hard right into the nearest street.
Yeah, swerve into oncoming traffic, preferably going up, play chicken with a semi truck.
No, that would hurt people. You just want to hurt the BMW.
Well, no, right? I think if you were in a BMW and you went up against a semi truck. The semi truck would be mostly fine. I guess it would hurt that guy.
Nah. I mean, I'd like traumatize the guy.
I guess maybe. Yeah, you are making someone else culpable in your death.
Yeah, let's hit a tree. I mean, I don't know. Even then, a tree is like, what'd that tree do to you?
What'd that tree do? Just drive off a bridge.
Just drive into a concrete column, right?
Yeah.
The one that's like dimensionally stable is not going to knock over a bridge or something. You have a lot of choices to make as you're driving into
You're just like, hold on. I have the Japanese suicide manual. I wonder if it'll tell me what the best thing to drive into is to kill myself. So like a bunch of like fireworks or explosives in the back. Being like, if the impact doesn't kill me, the explosion will.
My brother was actually asking me why so many people in Japan jump in front of trains and then you don't ever hear about them jumping off roofs. And I'm like, well, it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Except one, you're not having to sit there and think about, oh God, I'm falling. Oh God, what have I done? I've regretted my decision. Yeah, and the other is just instantaneous.
Although I would say that, you know, you are a bigger asshole if you're in the train. Well, actually, hold on. Cause like the book, one second, let me go grab the book. It's in Japanese. I can't read it, but one second.
This is now the Japanese suicide manual podcast. Hope you all did your mandatory homework. Hope you all bought the book and are following along. Yeah, is it like?
So the way the book is laid out, is it like, is this all these different techniques and it gives like ratings to each of them based on like different like attributes, like how painful is it? Right. How likely are you like to succeed? I think one of them is also like, how big of an inconvenience will this all like, how graphic, how gory is it? And then like, how much are you going to inconvenience other people? And it's like,
we started talking about that because of the Suicide Forest thing. Cause he mentioned like the Jake Paul thing. And he was like, oh, is that like a tourist attraction? I'm like, no, that's like way out of the fucking way. Like
yeah, Jake no, Paul
was, or was Luke, Jake? Is it, no, it's not Jake.
No, it was Logan Paul.
Logan Paul went out of his way to go film a dead body in a forest.
yeah. Though they literally like were walking around the forest off any trails, which is where people go to kill themselves, because that means like their bodies are going to be like, it's going to take way longer to find them. So yeah,
he's very like, confused. He's like, why are they doing that in the forest? Why don't they just like block off the forest? I'm like, because that's not solving the problem.
No,
the problem is these people want to kill themselves.
They're not going to put up like chain link fences. It's going to be like a wooden fence that you can easily hop over. If the fucking like, even then you can hop over a chain link. If the signs aren't working saying stay on the trails, and then they have other signs literally saying like, do not kill yourself. You have to think of all your loved ones. Don't do this. It's like, yeah, it's like a fucking fence is not going to do much.
Well, even like, then, well, it's like,
I drove all the way out from my house in Tokyo to Akigahara. And yeah, I was going to kill myself, but the fence is making it too inconvenient. I'm just going to go blow my brains out.
Even then, if you block off the forest where you can't get in, it's like, okay, now they're just going to go kill themselves some other way or like find another forest. Like, that's just like it attracts people because like it's a high profile area that people know and they want to be out of the way. They don't want to inconvenience people. But he was just very confused. Like, why don't they just block the forest off so people stop killing themselves?
Why don't they just put them? Well, one, it's it's kind of around like the most iconic natural landmark in Japan, you know, Mount Fuji. So it's kind of like, you can't really block off the forest without also blocking off the mountain, and people like to go up on the mountain. It's kind of a big deal. So yeah,
that was very funny.
We're gonna go to Akigahara and Dandadan.
I don't know. I mean, that'd be a manga question. We haven't done it in the anime yet.
Yeah, that'd be like that. Maybe would that be fun or would that be insensitive? Like we're gonna fight suicide zombies.
That's been like, there's not really like a fun like conspiracy or occult thing going on.
Supernatural entity associated with it. It's just sad.
Well, I mean that's kind of the thing with the Turbo Granny or whatever in the tunnel where the girls that have all kind of come together that were all rape victims.
Right.
So it's not like they are adverse to that.
But that's also like not like a real thing. Well, it's like it's not like a specific real thing in the real world, whereas
rape in Japan's not real.
Yeah. listen, I have it on good authority from numerous Twitter accounts that I guess rape is only ever committed by foreigners in Japan, seemingly.
Whether brain rot is real. Welcome to the Weeb Crew, where now every episode we'll mention Twitter.
Yes,
and it will not be me that brings it up.
I already did an intro. I don't know why we're doing it again.
Well, I'm not doing an intro. I'm just welcoming him to the new meta.
Yeah, welcome to this. We're not going to talk about any anime this episode, by the way.
No, we're talking about Don to Don.
That's true. Well,
we didn't talk about Don to Don season 2 in the last episode.
Yeah. I guess we didn't talk about Don to Don. I guess we didn't really have anything to go off of, apart from like first or second episode.
We were talking about it like after we, because you went and watched the last two episodes. That
yeah, so I'm caught up now in the first three episodes of season 2.
You're caught up. I'm also caught up. But we were talking about it. I think I like Don to Don more.
Yeah, so do I.
Well, I think I like it more as a battle shonen, like episode to episode, than I do basically any Jujutsu other Kaisen? Ones.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe like JoJo and Hunter x Hunter kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
But like Don to Don is just a fun show. It reminds me a lot of Ghost Stories, where it's like,
yeah,
we're kind of exploring these fun little, because I've never heard of a Mongolian death worm before until last season with Apocalypse Hotel, and now we're like talking about Mongolian death worms in Don to Don. I'm just like,
yeah. Oh. As soon as that showed up, I was like, hey, look at that! Now you know what that thing is.
It's the thing. I've never heard of that. Like, yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. But like, yeah, the Don to Don has fun with it. Like, it goes and grabs these like disparate fucking social occult shit, and it's like, oh, here's a Mongolian death worm, here's the evil here's the granny that races you in a tunnel.
It's the Japanese version of do you remember the cartoon Secret Saturdays?
Vaguely. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah that show did not last very long.
Was that the Spy Family one?
It does follow like a family, and they have like they're friends with like a Bigfoot or something, and they
that's not the one I was thinking of. This
Komodo dragon with them
looks like a banged by the Ben 10 people.
I thought it was, but I don't think it is. I don't think it's complete. I thought there was like a crossover episode. Maybe it is made by the same people. I have no idea. Created by Jay Stevens. No.
Demons in 1994.
Oh my god! Wait, is this based
how old
on
is this person?
How old? But yeah, I like the weird like parent. It's like it also kind of like reminds me of like it's like Earthbound is also kind of similar like that. Actually, I would not be surprised if something like Earthbound or the Mother series was an influence on this.
Mm.
It does kind of
it pulls a lot of influence from a lot of different sources. Like it does keep.
Yeah,
that's what we were talking about. It does all these like fun references to shit.
Yeah,
like even, in the last
not even,
episode,
not even like particularly like overt, like it's really drawing attention to it as a reference. It'll just be like a small detail sometimes, and it's like,
yeah, it's just like a small thing thrown in there that if you can notice, if you notice it, and if you don't, it's not integral to understanding what's happening.
Yeah, like the latest episode, it's like Momo's doing like the Ultraman pose, and it's like, yeah, it's a reference, but it's also like I could just see Momo doing that. This is like a thing.
It's like a fucking, and then Okarun does the Jotaro fucking thing where he like,
yeah,
it starts with him doing the like punches, but it's not like doing the Jotaro punch. It's just him jumping and doing punches or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of very JoJo-esque. And then they call attention to it by him like, the third mistake you made was to piss me off. It's like, oh, this is just a Jotaro reference.
Which again makes sense, because like these are like teenagers and they're probably like reading like JoJo or like familiar with like Ultraman and stuff.
Yeah, like they're into the occult stuff at this point.
Yeah which I wonder like how like any sort of like there's gonna be any sort of like overarching plot going on at any point, because right now it's been just kind of very like small arcs, and each arc is basically like more or less introduced a new member of the party. And I think now it's basically We have all four members, so after this arc, I don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. Like, I like it more episode to episode. Like, each episode is, like, more fun, well-constructed and all that. But it doesn't have, like, the peak moments or whatever, in air quotes, that something like a Jujutsu Kaisen has had with, like, its second season, where I can latch myself onto something emotionally.
and you need like a bit of a longer build up to that.
Yeah, but it is like we are like on episode 15 versus Jujutsu Kaisen, which is now in the 50s like when it comes back. Some
episodes, yeah.
So it is a different situation. But I do need, I just need it to like do something now that we're kind of done with the setup. I need it to like do something to really elevate. It doesn't need to do it right away. It just needs to do it at some point, right?
Yeah.
Do something.
Like, you have like these like nice like emotional moments like last season with the dancing demon character that possesses the one girl.
Or like season of this latest season,
episode two, where we get like the backstory of the evil eye. You get nice moments like that, but something that's like really like
has an impact on the story and like a
yeah, like
because there's the kind of season two has stuff that happens that's like, oh fuck, oh shit, what are they gonna do now kind of thing.
Longer form like build up, something like that you get in like a Hunter x Hunter with like the York new arc, or I mean any Hunter x Hunter arc, where it's like that is like the peak of that arc. It feels like these arcs as it's been so far have been too short to really actualize on something like that yet.
Yeah, what we're saying is 15 episodes in, now you need to make your Chimera Ant arc.
Yes, of course. Yeah, now we need to do 60 episodes dedicated to a single long arc. I think that's what
zero patience.
Arguably the Chimera Ant arc is the greatest test of patience.
Well, you don't like the narrator telling you everything?
It's because it's like 60 some episodes, and it's like the first 40 episodes are all set up to get to the palace invasion, which is then another 24 episodes, and it's like, holy fucking shit.
I mean, to be fair, it didn't feel like set up for most of it, because like you're just kind of like they're like walking, yeah, and like fighting these other ant stuff. Like, in retrospect,
it's all like set up. But in right, the moment, it's just like, oh, this is just where the adventure is going. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. That was what I was getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, isn't Chainsaw Man movie supposed to be coming out anytime soon? We're going to have to watch that because that's like plot relevant.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all right with watching it. It looks cool.
Yeah. It's making me realize, though, the day we see the end of Chainsaw Man in animated form, we are going to be like in our 50s at this rate.
Was it that long?
I mean, compared to the first part, the whole thing, getting just to the end of like the first like part of the Chainsaw Man manga, like that first, not really a saga, but like a mega arc, basically.
I mean, he did say that was like the end, like of this. Like, this is the end of Chainsaw Man, and this is, like, a new story kind of thing.
That's from what I've seen of, like, the new stuff, that's not... I mean, yes and no.
It is a continuation. It is, like, a sequel. But they don't call it Chainsaw Man 2, I guess.
Yeah. It's... When they say that about Hunter x Hunter, with, like, the end of, like, the election arc and everything that's come after it in the manga, like, oh, this is, like, kind of, like, a different thing. Chainsaw Man is even less than that. I mean, without, like, getting into, like, any of those... Like, I haven't read the manga, I just kind of know, like, generally things that are going on. But even getting into the end of like the first arc, like the first bit of Chainsaw Man, is going to take a while at this rate.
How far are we in versus how long is it?
I'd need to check. Maybe I think less than halfway still. I could be wrong. There's still a lot that needs to happen though.
I mean, that's not that long, honestly. Like halfway, if we're almost halfway.
I think less than halfway with like the movie. Let me see if it'll actually tell me.
I mean, they're already talking about a season two with the movie coming out.
What chapters does this arc cover? Oh, why are you chapters 39 to 52, and the first part is, let me see. About 97 chapters. So, yeah, we're about halfway then, I'd say. I'm curious how the
that's not bad.
That's like 13 chapters in a single movie. I'm curious to see how they handle that.
Yeah, that's not that bad. I mean, that's
not that bad. Still though, at this rate, that's going to take a while, because season one of Chainsaw Man came out how long ago?
I mean, I'm old. I'm patient now.
Yeah. I mean, or
2022 does not feel that long ago.
Does it? I feel like it does.
It doesn't feel that long ago to me. I'm old.
Yeah. Also, season one took a while to make. There was like so much buildup for that. Was that like was Chainsaw Man maybe the most hyped anime of the decade? Like new anime, at least. I guess there's like stuff with like One Piece, but in terms of like a new anime coming out, I feel like
I think so. Like,
yeah,
I can't think of anything that had as much like buildup leading into it. I was thinking about it.
Almost kind of worked to the show's detriment in the end, though, because then a lot of people were like disappointed with it.
Yeah, for some fucking
Boy,
this does not look like the perfect anime, most epic thing ever.
This doesn't look like existence. How I pictured the manga in my head. I don't know why I turned into fucking Sephiroth's sword, but I said that. This is not how I pictured the manga. Now it's Slavoj Žižek. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just I don't know what you're doing.
No. Now, you know Sephiroth's sword, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a weird question. Why did you think I went?
I don't know, because like I feel like I have to like ask these questions now to see like do you know who this person? Because like half the time you just say no.
Grandpa, do you know who this is?
His name is PewDiePie.
Is that Marilyn Monroe? No. Is
still around?
It's Cardi B, Grandpa. Oh, she's got the wide hips like the Marilyn Monroe.
Man, what if PewDiePie gets deported from Japan? That would be funny. Right takes a...
Oh, okay, I got what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like they're all like, we need to get rid of all the immigrants, PewDiePie included.
We don't need you here anymore.
All these fucking gaijin.
All these gaijin.
Yeah.
I installed Linux and so should you. Man, I can't believe PewDiePie became banned.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
He's a Linux bro now.
You know, at first I thought he was fine. Now it's just confirmed he's like just insufferable. It's like, I installed Linux. It's like, good job. Do you want a fucking pat on the back? I hacked my 3DS. I homebrewed that shit. Where's my fucking like dick suck? All right.
PewDiePie, my computer is broken. Do you know how you could fix it? Did you try installing Gentoo?
Yeah.
No. No, PewDiePie. No. I did not try doing that.
No, I'm trying to upgrade to Windows 11.
There's a problem.
You should upgrade to Ubuntu.
Should stop installing the bloatware on your PC. Stop
installing the bloatware. Did you know Microsoft is spying on you? And they don't care.
I've legitimately thought about moving to Linux just because I fucking hate how cumbersome Windows can be sometimes, but it'd be such a pain.
It is very like
heavy,
but also like then you have to deal with like Linux being like frustrating and all the troubleshooting and stuff.
Yeah, that's the part I'm like, I don't want to keep up with the upkeep.
Yeah.
Like, it would be convenient, just not convenient in other ways that Windows is convenient.
Yeah, there's like trade-offs there where it's like, I don't have to think when I'm using Windows, even though there's like a lot of like bullshit going on with it. Whereas it's like, oh god, how do I boot my computers normally?
Speaking of sequels we didn't watch or talk about last time, have you been watching any of My Dress Up Darling?
No, I still need to finish season one, actually.
It's good.
Yeah.
The last episode
from what I've seen.
Well, the last episode kind of like does this kind of interesting foil thing where it's very aware in a set, in a way of like what it is doing, and almost a bit like too afraid that the audience is going to miss it. It's like in the last episode it basically has. Over the last two episodes before this, it basically had Gojo go through an arc kind of thing where he realizes, you know, something specific. And in the last episode, it basically condenses that arc from the last two episodes into another character where they also come to the same conclusion. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. A little bit unnecessary, but
cool. I guess it drives the point home without necessarily like overtly like just having him turn to the camera and being like,
Man, the dress-up darling really was the friends I made along the way. And then he dies. And then he dies. He gets shot and killed and dies. Bleeds out in Marion's arms.
And that's just the next, like, eight episodes of him just... his corpse.
Marion hits his head with a scepter, and then we just get like the fucking that famous Russian painting of the guy holding his son, his dead son in his hands.
So ends, like the Sopranos.
If anyone is listening to this, I don't know, listeners can draw. Please make that for me. Just Marion holding Gojo like that fucking Russian painting.
That's so stupid.
Oh, that'd be so fucking schizo.
I do really like My Dress Up Darling. They are really good at characterizing Gojo and marrying together. Where
yes.
Oh, I'm like, oh, I want them to be happy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like, they have a really, like, even just, like, based on, like, the Tower Money episode that I'd seen in season one, it's like, yeah, no, this is a, like, a really great dynamic. And again, it goes into a thing where it's like, this is, like, it's, like, wish fulfillment for everyone, basically.
Basically. It does straddle the line really well, where Gojo is very much like that sort of self, I'm going to say this in like quotation marks, that sort of self insert nice guy thing that you do see in a lot of shows like this, where it's like,
but it also has like flaw, like that nice guy stuff is also like a kind of a massive character flaw with him, where he will just torture himself for the sake of someone else. And it's like, I mean, that's kind of like more like Marion's whole thing is like, dude, maybe you should prioritize yourself a little bit.
It's more like the nice guy aspect just kind of is in line with him as a character. Like, it's all his character is constructed around being really into like the Hina dolls. And that kind of starts an overlap with like her otaku stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are these dogs doing? they overlap. It just kind of overlaps with her otaku stuff. So it's earned in a way because it is so specifically geared toward Marin's interests that it makes sense that they kind of bond over it.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, you're just such a nice guy and I just need normalcy in my life. Like, Marin is normal. Gojo is normal. Like, neither one of them need normalcy. It's just they bond.
Yeah,
by having like a similar interest or a similar sort of passion for something, and their passions kind of overlap in a way that they can bond together over the shared hobby that she has.
Yeah, it's so really nice. I do. Yeah. I really got to get to finishing season one, getting on season two. Would you say it's better than 2.5D?
Yes.
2.5D. It's so funny because I think Sam Ham was like reading it, and he got to that bit when they're at a Comiket and like they're yelling and stuff like to the author, which is like the funniest fucking part of the show. And Sam was just like, this is so unrealistic. How are they at Comiket and have like this much like room to like move around?
Right. I mean, they are outside in like a weird like offshoot area, but it still does not have that much space anywhere.
Can you imagine being at like Comiket, just see two people like yelling passionately at each other like that? You're like, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, I can't imagine. Like, people do yell at Comiket.
Well, sure, but like that.
There's a lot of talking, so it's like they get drowned out. But
they're not delivering inspiring speeches to one another. I mean, also, to be fair, in the world of 2.5D, Tokyo is a small town of like 5,000 people.
5,000 people.
How everyone just knows one another.
Where everybody knows your name.
About the size of like the town of Twin Peaks.
The world is a very small place in 2.5D.
Yeah, it's kind of absurd.
I did want to talk about a bit of that fucking flower blooms.
With
dignity.
Yeah.
Because someone in the last, I tried to make a comment and I kept like coming back to it and be like, fuck, I just never fucking finished.
Oh, yeah.
But someone's like, y'all don't like it because the criticism that it's too simple is just not a crit. It's like, that wasn't the criticism.
No.
It's not that it's like simple. The criticism is more, there are a lot of simple romances that utilize their parts in a way that's kind of like organically and like effortlessly. It comes off as effortless, I should say. Not yeah. convoluting their plot. Like, it's not a matter of like, I want the flower blooms with dignity to be more complicated. That is not at all what we were saying. It was, there are shows, I think I used the Skip Beat example, but we'll use the My Dress Up Darling example to make it relevant to what the season is.
Sure.
In My Dress Up Darling, it is very simple. They're just going to school, having like this budding romance and kind of bonding over anime shit. But then bonding over that anime shit, like cosplay specifically and all that, has these layers of like identity and self-expression and understanding and kind of them bonding through this shared interest and like seeing the other person's perspective. Because like Marin is just looking at it from like a fan perspective. So she's like, oh, I really like, I forget the maid character, Shizuka. I really like Shizuka. She's pretty, she has a cute design. And then Gojo comes in when he's like making the costume for her, and he looks at things from a different perspective, and he's like, okay, what kind of material was Shizuka's clothes be made of? Because she's like an Ojosan kind of character. She has money, she's from this certain background.
Yeah.
She would have this material. And it's things that Marin as a fan would never have thought of, because she's just not engaging with it on that level. Where she would think to wonder about what kind of material, like that's just not on her radar. And these things kind of inform these different characters' perspectives in a way that's very effortless. And like, you can basically just natural. Blink and miss it. Cause like, it's not like it's taking the time to sit there and be like, no, pay attention to this. But the Flower Blooms of Dignity, at least from like the first episode, didn't really establish anything like that. Like,
and even in like the second, like, to be fair, it could do stuff like that later on, but
it could. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it's just like
we're also giving it the same shot that we give literally everything else this season, which is we watch like the first however many episodes and then are kind of like, it doesn't.
Well, we did watch the second episode.
Yeah, we did watch the second episode, and not we were really just kind of like, it's not really doing anything for me. I don't like this melodrama isn't hitting. I don't really like. Characters aren't particularly like roping me into this. There's just not really anything there for me to like really latch on to. So I just kind of like,
I mean, still manning the show as like what its themes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's obviously going for this class divide thing.
Right.
I'm sure they'll explore like how she's from the nice school on the west side, the right side of the tracks. He's from the delinquent school, and you're going to have the barriers come down because their banned forbidden romance or whatever is going to unite them, or you know, that kind of shit, right? Like, I get that they're going to probably go in that direction, but that's like just not super interesting.
I need something like, beyond that though. Like, that's
that,
not
that,
like
that happens a
to,
lot.
It's not enough to like grab me, especially like in terms of like the characters' personalities are kind of like the main thing. And the girl's cute, but and then the guy is just there's nothing really there that is really like as a romance getting me into it. On the other hand, the April Shower show is way better with that in terms of having like especially like a really likable and endearing main character where I'm I am on her side. I like her a lot. I want to see her succeed and be happy.
The point was more, this is what our impression is of the first episode at the time. Now it's two episodes.
Yeah.
These are the things that were present in other shows. And I used the sign of affection example because that was immediately apparent from like the first episode that they were going to be using her deafness, her disability to explore these sort of different themes about, you know, separate worlds or whatever. And it's very similar in the flower blooms plow or whatever the fuck the show's
the fragrant flower blooms with dignity. Jesus Christ. Dignity.
There's no dignity in saying this fucking title.
No, the fragrant flower blooms with now I'm just doing like a racist Japanese voice.
But I feel like a side of affection is a good comparison to show, because it's doing something very similar as far as like the different worlds aspect, right? The Shizuka character in Flower is from the Ojosamba world or whatever. He's from the delinquent world or kind of thing. Like they're
kind of, but not really
have their own. Right. But you know what I'm like, they have their own experiences and they're kind of getting a glimpse into the other side and kind of bringing down the wall preconceptions they might, may have had, or their friends may have had, or like of the other side kind of thing.
I think I'd be more into it, honestly, if there was just like, if they contrast the romance stuff with just brutal gang violence.
Just turns into Windbreaker.
Yeah, I was thinking less Windbreaker, more like The Godfather or something.
but like a Sign of Affection does a similar thing because like she is deaf, so she doesn't hear anything. So she engages in the world differently than everyone else. And you get moments like in the first episode, a foreigner comes up to her and is like asking her for directions or whatever. And she immediately looks at him, assumes that he's a foreigner so he doesn't speak Japanese, and just kind of blows him off by being like, oh, I'm deaf, I can't hear you, and like points to her earpiece, whatever, which she's deaf, so she wears the earpiece purely for the performativity of being able to point to it and be like, hey, I'm deaf, I can't hear you. Which the main character, the main love interest, I should say, actually calls her out on it, because he goes and helps the foreigner guy and like explains the situation to her or whatever, or to him or whatever, and then he turns to her and realizes she's deaf, and he's like, oh, but do you read lips? And she's like, oh yeah, I can read lips. And he's like, okay, well, he was speaking perfect Japanese, why couldn't you help him? And she's like, oh, I just assumed that he was speaking a foreign language because he's a foreigner or whatever. And so it immediately kind of like starts playing with that stuff, and right, so you kind of get these like different perspectives of the world from these two characters. That is literally in episode one of A Sign of Affection. One of Blooming Flower, it just kind of does
the fragrant flower blooms with dignity. We have to say the full title now.
No, I'm not
just to prove that we can.
It has like, you're Rintaro's girl, right? You should dump him because he's a bad character. She's like, you shouldn't assume things of people. This is kind of like, this is not an interesting way to engage with these themes.
No.
Like, you're just telling me these things. It's like, all right, sure, I guess, whatever.
Before it was just like, if anything, they should almost, like, play up, like, how petty and cartoonish the fact that these two schools that are very different are right next to each other. So that it's, like, they're constantly, like, engaging in, like, guerrilla warfare in, like, really petty ways. Or it's like, we got bottle rockets and we're going to launch them across.
Just like it turns into fucking Kaguya-sama with like its level of cartoonish like rivalry or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. We're like really playing that. Like that could be fun. There's just, nothing that's really like grabbed me in terms of the characters or the theming or the set. I guess it looks nice, but it's not really like presented in a way that I think is particularly visually captivating, at least for me. Like, it looks nice, but not in a way I really think is interesting to look at.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, harp on the show. Like, we've dropped it.
No, this is the worst show of the season. What the fuck are you talking about?
The worst show of the season.
This show is so fucking bad. That's the title of the episode. We're going to say this is the worst show of the season, and we're just going to put it on the thumbnail.
It is nowhere near the worst show of the season.
Oh, absolutely not.
I would probably keep watching it just as like the mid show or whatever. But there are things that need to be. I'm not going to advocate to keep it. And the people that are watching the group watch want to drop it. So I'm like, that's fine. I don't want to keep watching stuff that's like I'm not in love with anyway.
Yeah. The worst show of the season is Kami Tsubaki City, which, by the way, you made a comment earlier, like when we were watching a movie, that feels like Kami Tsubaki City feels like something that would be created by the characters from Ave Mujica, like the edgy characters.
Majuka.
It's just him. It's just the Bang Dream guy.
It is the Bang Dream guy.
It's the same director.
I had that pegged so hard.
I saw that. I was like, that's fucking awesome. Holy shit. I do kind of want to watch more of it just because, like, at least that first episode was like, holy fuck. Which, by the way, the first episode is episode zero, and the name of the episode is Witchling Part One.
Part one.
Why the fuck is your episode zero part one? And then episode one is then Witchling part two. And it's like, what the episode fuck are one. We doing? God.
But I want to drop that shit so fucking hard. Like, it's not like the second episode wasn't even like, at least like the first episode was like incomprehensible, where it was kind of funny because it just keeps doing these time skips.
The second episode was incomprehensible to the point that I was getting annoyed.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't care what's happening.
No, I don't know. Nothing is like, I need like more like ridiculous edgy shit, like characters just dying in comical ways.
Yeah, the edgy stuff was funny.
Yeah.
The stuff with the grain area, and they were like, oh, look, we found a girl in a test tube. Oh, no, she's been like, I don't know what's happening. I don't care.
No.
Whatever. Mm. So, yeah, we're not watching.
I might pick it up later and just be like, holy fucking shit. This is like something like really.
I guess we can just start talking, just see also stuff we dropped. We also dropped Necronomico.
Yeah.
I feel like the most interesting things to talk about in Necronomico are just present in the first episode. And I don't know how much they're going to actually expand on it in the next episode. Because like the most interesting thing about me is it's a survival game, like story. And
about content
it's dealing with
creators.
YouTubers. Content creators. Yeah. And it's doing this thing where it's like, oh, all the rules seem to be very clear and they're fair, but like they change midway. Without anyone's knowledge, and they're run by the old gods or whatever, which is
it's like, yeah, the YouTube algorithm really is like Cthulhu. I see what you're saying. I get it.
Well, I think it's going for more like these CEOs, or it might be a different coat of paint, but like they are the same people that have been ruling society for hundreds of years at this point. It's just, it looks different now because it's all this content creation economy kind of thing,
right?
So there's interesting things you can talk about with that. I just don't know how much more it's going to expand upon it in a way that's like really like, oh, that's an interesting place to take that, where I'm interested in watching the rest of it,
especially because it's a fairly large cast and like there's only two characters I really enjoy watching, and none of the other all the other ones are kind of annoying, so it's like
I think they literally only exist to just kill them off with like subsequent games. They're gonna be like, oh look, the stakes of being raised, this girl that we introduced last episode that you gave zero shits about was killed.
Oh my god.
Oh no
what the fuck else have we dropped?
Watari Kun's penis is collapsing.
I didn't watch that one. How is that one? No, I was
okay.
Gone that Friday.
I don't know if I really even have anything of like substance to say about it. It's just like they move, some girl moves in that was in their hometown originally. They're doing some like thing where I guess she like destroyed their garden for some reason that is going to be justified later on, but it's being kept from the protagonist right now. Maybe like her sister fucked up the garden and so she took the blame for it or something. I don't know. But
what?
Like, so she's like, the main character hates this girl because he's like, oh, you destroyed the garden me and my sister and my mother made together, and you're an asshole. And it's revealed that she actually owned the garden originally, and she's like, oh, why did you destroy the garden or whatever? She just doesn't answer. And
what does this have to do with his penis?
It has nothing to do with the penis. There's no penis. I don't know what's collapsing in Watari-kun. Something is collapsing.
It's something that has to be censored, but...
Something that has to be censored. I don't know what the fuck it is. But yeah, it's just like, whatever. It was a show. Maybe you'll see it and be interested. I have zero interest.
I don't know. There are some things I feel like, maybe I'll just watch this on my own. Like Minogra. Apocalypse Bringer Minogra. Where that's like... That's cool. I like the weird like video game RTS elements, like the civilization builder stuff. But it's also like, one, there's just a lot of talking.
See, that's what I liked about it. I liked the talking. I can see like it's not directed super well. Like you talk about the food court show and how well directed it is to keep you engaged in this like monotonous conversation, like not monotonous,
yeah,
mundane conversation. Whereas Migra or whatever is not really a mundane show.
No,
but the conversations are very much like, oh yeah, we should send a scout to this area and then scout out the different places or whatever the fuck. It's just like very technical stuff.
Yeah, which I like that. I like that stuff. Kind of wish it was like just maybe presented a bit better. It's like, I don't even necessarily dislike the show. It's just, I don't know if I want to, at least for our group watch, continue watching it. I feel like I'll probably just watch it on my own.
Fair. Yeah, I enjoyed it all right. I would continue watching it.
Yeah, I mean, just because you also set a mandate of 4 episodes a day at maximum, and I'm like, no.
That is,
if we're doing that, then this is like on the lower end.
Yeah, but 4 episodes a day is already a lot.
I disagree. We could do 5.
I don't want to do. Okay, I think 3 episodes a day is like the sweet spot, because like once you get to 4. One, we're already like in a time crunch, essentially, because like all the group watches happen like 2 hours after our starts. And so you have like the set 2 hours to like watch everything. So if we have any inkling to like have a conversation about anything we just watched, people were going to leave mid and last episode because, oh, other group watches are starting.
Yeah.
For me, like once you get to 4 episodes is when you start feeling the length.
Mm-hmm.
3 episodes is like very easily digestible. You finish, you're like, oh, that was fun. I had a lot of fun, and you move on and you had time to do other stuff. I feel like 4 is where it starts feeling like, okay, we've been watching a lot of anime today. 5 is just like, we're like 10 o'clock at night now kind of territory.
Yes. All right. I will lead this ship into oblivion. God damn it. Well, I guess it doesn't help that Kijigen Tosho and Uchijin Mumu are both 2 core, and we didn't know that going into them.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, it's not so bad, because really we only picked up 3 new shows a day, but we have 5 shows carrying over from last season we're still watching.
Yeah.
So that's making it 4 episodes a day, which is like, it's whatever. I think we picked up some 2-season shows, actually.
Maybe. Here, let me pull up just the schedule and we can just hash out. Hey, guys, this is what we're watching this season. So, see, we got City, obviously, To Be Hero, Summer Hikaru Died, Game Center, Gay Center.
Can we talk about Game Center? That shit gives me a fucking, like, psychic damage.
Oh, why? Why? Do elaborate.
Fucking British accent. Oh.
Sally Maki, by the way, is not British. She's American. She's doing, and I assume this has to be intentional, it's not a proper British accent. It's a weird, almost like facsimile of a British accent that is like, I assume done because that is like what a Japanese audience would expect a British accent to sound like. I could be completely wrong though.
I don't know about that part necessarily.
It is very funny every time she fucking speaks though, and it's just like, hello.
She does have like a I don't know, listen, hearing someone speak in the English accent, it's like, oh, you gonna escort me, are you? I'm
just like, ah. Yeah, it's like, oh, they really play it up.
No, please. Doing psychic damage. Don't do this.
Game Centers. Do you think that? I don't know if they're gonna keep that up for the entire show. Maybe.
Probably not. It's already like going by weird, like arbitrary rules.
In terms of like how much Japanese can she understand?
Yeah, like she fucking they start talking. She's like wanting him to notice she got a haircut, and he's like he's not noticing. And then some Japanese people come up and they're like, "Oh, you got a haircut," but they say it in Japanese. And she's like, "Yes, I did." It's like, how did you understand that? Like, did you specifically look up what people would say?
Like the idea that she's only like kind of guessing what people are saying to her.
Even then, it wouldn't really have made sense in that context.
Yeah,
it had to have been something like she looked up what basically like saying nice hair and like all the permutations of saying nice hair in Japanese would be, and then recognized when they said it to her in Japanese. This is like, It's playing fast and loose with it, but it's whatever. I'm not
who cares?
So autistic that I'm going to be like, oh, this doesn't make sense logistically. It's just like, okay, I see what we're doing. We're playing fast and loose. It's fine.
Just to be clear, by the way, we're not continuing Nukitashi, right?
Nukitashi. I mean, if y'all don't want to continue it, I might continue it just because I think it's kind of interesting. I thought it was very funny.
I didn't really think it was funny, and I felt like I kind of got the point immediately, and I'm like, I don't
know. You didn't think it was funny when the class rep is like talking to her and just starts getting fucked in the ass mid-conversation?
No, well, one, she isn't getting fucked in the ass. It has to be copulation sex only. It's not. There's nothing interesting about this. It's deliberately uninteresting sex by design, for one.
It's because it's government mandated. You got to repopulate the falling population crisis.
Yeah.
I was having fun with it. I was like,
I don't really think that like there's interesting ways to do that. I don't think, like, even in terms of like how it's portrayed, if they just went like full like weird fascist aesthetics with it or something, like a Kill a Kill kind of thing, like, okay, that's something. Everything is just presented so plain. It really just feels like, and I can tell this by the way people react on Twitter, is just like, oh my god, it's so crazy they're having sex. And it's like, yeah, how the fuck do you think you were made? What's so special about this? No,
like, it is very funny that they're just having, like, there's this hypersexualization where they're just literally having, like, they go to a diner and like some dude's getting sucked off while doing the splits on a booth. And they're just like, this is ridiculous. Like, what the fuck is going on?
It's not ridiculous, though, is the thing. It's like completely mundane. So it's just kind of like, what are we doing?
I don't know if I would describe it as mundane.
In the context of the show, it is like everyone is like, it's like literally nothing special to them.
Well, mundane in the context of the island. I don't think it's necessarily that is society as a whole. I think that is the island specifically. Well,
sure. But it's like in the context of like the setting of the show is the island. Let's be clear.
Yeah, but like these are characters that are not from the island. Like, they weren't born there or anything. Like, they get sent there. So they're like going from normal society to this. And they're just like, what the fuck? Like, this is fucking bizarre. And then they like,
I don't know. Yeah, come
across
just, like,
the
nothing.
Gamer room.
Like, nothing really going on there for me where I'm just kind of like, yeah, this has like one thing going for it. And it's not something I think is particularly interesting, like, or shocking.
I thought it was interesting, like, seeing the hyper, like, copious amounts of sex going on. They're like trying to have a conversation and the people are just like screaming. You're like, I can't hear what you're saying for the plot. This bitch is moaning in the background. Could you please speak louder?
That joke is gonna stop being funny after like three episodes is my thing.
I mean, even if it stops being, like, it is like an interesting, it kind of reminds me of Ishizuka reviewers in certain ways where it's like putting it in a normalized thing where it's like,
well, that's the thing. That's the thing, though. It's like Ishizuka reviewers is way more like out there and weird with it. Whereas this is like, again, by design, completely.
Only
be having missionary sex as well.
Your complaint is that it's not fetishistic. Really, it's just sexualized, or it's not. There's no eroticism to it.
Yeah, no. Anyone who's saying this show is fucking erotic is like just outing themselves as a fucking normie. All right, Ruri Rocks is way more erotic than this show, and there's zero nudity or sex in it.
I don't even think it's supposed to be erotic necessarily, like in the sense of like
I don't think it's supposed to be. No, but that's how people are treating it. I'm just like, get a life.
Yeah, I think it's just supposed to like be overwhelming your senses in a way where it's just like there's just dozens of people having sex constantly on screen and you're just like, what the fuck? Imagine this.
Yeah, I was like that at the start when they're like they're walking down the street and there's all these people having sex. And then by the end of the episode, I'm like, okay, and they're like, there's nowhere to go from here. There's no like, we need to like accelerate, and it doesn't feel like it's going to do that. It's feel like we've hit this, and now we're just going to plateau. We have nowhere to build to.
I don't know what, because like it seems like they might be going for maybe like a streamer versus like OnlyFans setup, because like they do have this like thing where they're like, oh, do you want to go against this like regime that is basically corporatized and monetized sex, which I think is tying into why it's not really erotic. It is just like, it's like porn, like in the sense of like how people perceive porn that are against porn. It is just people having sex with like no real eroticism to it. It's just like to pump out the more pornographic content. So like you have people that are
doing, but if they wanted to commit to that though, it would be like really like crazy sex, not just fuck me in my pussy with your penis, please.
Well, it's, I think it's because they're tying it into the whole population collapse thing. So it's
right.
You know, it wouldn't really do them any good to like be like, oh yeah, you know, anal sex is fine, because then you're just incentivizing some form of contraception that is not going to lead to the increased population of Japan or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like I see where we they're see going with some stuff.
Pregnant in the show though.
Well, no, I think what it's because like they talk about giving them birth control. I think what they're trying to do is get them to just be open to having sex while they are in school or whatever. And then they will just go out and then start having sex with people when they get out, but they won't be in the school grounds and they'll be grown up and they aren't getting the contraception from this the island or whatever. And so I really don't know. Cause like they don't go into it yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first fucking episode. I'm just assuming that they don't want, I don't want to say that next sentence because that would sound very weird. But they don't. They're, given their age, they don't want them to get pregnant.
I guess, yeah.
And it's like, well, we gotta get them started early so that they can go. They will, you know, go and have sex. They will have families when they get into the real world.
When they go out into the real world and realize you can't just have sex with people on the street, like that would be like something. But it doesn't seem like it's gonna do that.
It just establishing stuff in this episode, and there has little, you know, trinkets of stuff that they've kind of peppered in there where I'm like, there's stuff that they could build on. Whether or not they will or not, I don't know. I haven't read the fucking visual novel, but I was entertained enough that I'm willing to keep going with it for now. So I'll probably watch the second episode.
Is just like relying like very heavily on like the premise itself being very shocking, being like, oh my god, could you believe they put this on TV? And I'm like, yeah, I can. And like, it doesn't impress me at all.
I haven't really thought about that at all. So I'm just like, eh.
And that's just how it kind of comes across. Because again, there wasn't really anything beyond that to really like I don't like the characters particularly. The world is silly, but it feels like it's also kneecapping it. So like there's just nothing there to really have me be like, oh, this is interesting. It's just kind of like,
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they might, I think they might be leading into, they might
like I'd be more interested more. In watching like a gushing with over magical girls kind of thing.
Yeah, that's just like that's a different thing from this though.
Well sure, but it's like if you want to hook me with depravity, hook me with depravity, goddammit. Let's go full blown. My thing is, this feels like a half measure. Mm. When it should have gone all the way.
Should have went to home, got a home run, grand slam. Yeah,
we should have seen a woman like just getting split three ways to Sunday. You know what I'm saying? The guy we need to have a like a guy while a guy's fucking a girl, he's also like sitting on a cake, and another guy's over there masturbating to it.
See, I don't think it's commentating on like the porn industry as far as like making its actors do more depraved things over time, as so much as it's commentating on the sort of access of sexual content where it's just like ever present. Like it's essentially taking that up to 11, where instead of having like a billboard, that's kind of a little risque. It's just, okay, we're just fucking show people fucking, who cares? Why are you toting the line at this point? You're clearly trying to make sex sell. Just go with it. This whole society is just inundated with sexual imagery.
We can't go too far with making sex sell. We got to make sure it's the good wholesome kind of sex.
It's, I think a part of it, I think, is it's balancing two different things. But I'd have to see where it's going with it. But I do think it will commentate on some things like maybe like homosexuals and stuff like that have being forced to do this stuff. Maybe, because like it does kind of set up that the sister has like a weird incestuous thing for her brother. So I feel like that could be something they're going to start explore at some point. Like, that's the kind of thing that they're kind of like at least seeding early on, that like they could elevate, because they already had like these characters that were like, oh, we want to be monogamous. And they're like, what? You fucking weirdos? You don't want to just fuck everybody all the time? Don't you want to experience multiple dicks and pussies? What? So I feel like they will be able to approach it from different angles in that sense. As they have things that are kind of like seeding that with like the incest angle or whatever.
Right.
And then like the gal girl who like everyone assumes like, oh, she's the biggest slut ever. And she's like, I've literally never fucked anyone in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, none of it's like revolutionary. I'm not like, oh, no, I'm going to make a fucking video essay.
Like after the first episode, I was like, I get it. And it didn't really instill much confidence that it's going to expand on that very well, or like, again, have characters that I care about or a plot that I care about.
Yeah, I'm willing to give it another episode or two. It's because it was kind of funny. If the joke wears thin,
I didn't really laugh at all.
She's like having like exposure, like, oh, this is what you do at the school, and it's like this mid conversation, like, ah.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter beforehand, and I was just kind of like, okay.
The bit with the guns was kind of funny. Like, why are they shooting us? Like, oh, the rubber bullets. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This is fucked up. I don't know.
I don't know. Let me know if anyone at least, I don't know, floats the idea of doing angle. Ooh, that would be spicy. Oh, my God.
Doing angle?
Oral sex?
Oh, anal.
Yeah.
They do have oral sex.
Did they?
Yeah, that's what I said. There was a guy in the diner that was like doing the splits on the booth, and the girl was like going to town on him.
Maybe I don't know.
He was literally maybe doing the Robert Van Damme.
That's not copulative sex. And they also said foreplay.
No, they said no. The foreplay is fine because like, they said masturbation's
okay.
They
explicitly say no. No, they explicitly say no foreplay.
No, they said masturbation is only okay if it's going to lead, like, it's mutual masturbation and you will have sex, it leads into sex, it's used as foreplay. So foreplay was okay.
Let me see. What do they say in the episode?
I think that is in the classroom. I think that is before she starts getting...
Yeah. Well, that's what I remember them saying, like, yeah, foreplay is not allowed. Nice boat.
Playing with yourself is forbidden.
So wait. But... as an act of foreplay, mutual masturbation is allowed. Okay.
Yeah.
This gynecomastia, by the way.
Yeah. That. Maybe.
Fucking soy male.
He does have, like, I don't think any of the other guys stylistically have a chest like that. Maybe that will play into it.
Almost certainly not.
I don't know. Maybe.
I highly doubt it. The show feels like very one trick pony. It does not instill confidence it's gonna do much else. As opposed to Secrets of the Silent Witch, which is wonderful.
It's a pretty cute show. It's basically the only thing I give a shit in that show is just the main character. And it's not even
kind of.
I don't think I like her as much as like other characters of like obviously she's like, not like on a Bocchi level. Yeah, like she's cute, but it's not like I don't know if she's gonna like be able to carry the whole show. I mean, she is the best part of it, but I don't know if I'm like I think it's also what happens.
It's interesting to see her in playing this sort of role, getting caught up in this like political intrigue stuff, which is fun, and how she's like interacting and relating to and building relationships with all these other characters,
mm-hmm.
like simultaneously. Because the plot is like she was already like in school once, right?
Right.
Well, she's like,
she went to wizard school. I don't know if that's necessarily the same thing.
It's some sort of schooling at least. And like the idea is like now she's going back through it and now she's like putting in more of an effort to like be more outgoing and build relationships with other characters, which is nice to see. And that the way that kind of then ties into like the fact that she has to basically protect someone's life without them knowing that their life is being protected as well, while having to like negotiate that around like their like comical social anxiety is fun.
It also the show. I will say it reminds me of the Gilmas, Ginumasu.
I was thinking more like mixing like Bocchi and Spy Family, honestly.
Well, yeah, like in terms of that, but I mean, like, as far as the appeal aspect for me, like, that mm-hmm. was very much based around the main girl in that show, and mm-hmm. I basically just watched it for that girl. I feel like this one is a little bit better constructed than that one was, where that one is basically like, oh, the fact that she's like an overworked fucking receptionist just speaks to me on a spiritual level that kind of elevates the generally kind of just like decent to okay character interactions.
Right.
This I feel like is better in terms of like the stuff that you pointed out, where she's kind of, I like the math aspect. And she's just like,
oh yeah, the big ass math nerd. Very funny. Yeah.
She's like, oh, I was able to do the calculations to figure out exactly what floor it landed from based on how fast or it was
like,
moving.
It's like, well, how did you know it was him? And she just starts reciting off like the golden ratio.
The golden ratio. It's like, yeah, I like that stuff. She's not like a Bocchi level character that she just could carry the whole show and make it like something that I really enjoy. I still will probably enjoy it. But just like, it's one of those, like, I could take it or leave it. Like, I'll probably enjoy it if I see it in front of me.
Like, I didn't really care about the overall plot stuff in something like Guildmaster. Whereas some of the plot stuff was kind of really fucking silly in Guildmaster. Yeah. Whereas this feels much more interesting in terms of how it's being put together and the overall like situation and scenario going on.
Mm-hmm.
That then seeing like this kind of character in this role, like it's good that she's already like a fun character, but then you're putting her into what I think is like a more interesting situation. Like, it's not just like, oh, she's going back to school or anything like that. It's like, she's got a lot on her plate to manage. And there's like, she has the guy that she's protecting, all the people around him, her other classmates, and then the other girl that she's kind of a slave to, but not really. It's like a weird thing.
Oh, the girl that she's just acting as her cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's not.
Well, yeah, because that her cover is like she is the younger stepsister of this other girl who's also attending the school. It didn't come up in episode 2, but the idea is like she's going to act as like this kind of like cruel, like Ojo-sama character, even though she's not at all, which is again like another kind of fun aspect to it. I'm excited to see where it goes, especially with like the political intrigue stuff, which I think has been fairly well handled so far.
Yeah, I like the characters. Like, there is some good stuff that they're doing, like planting the seeds for her like traumatic backstory, because like you see like bits where she's with her dad and you're like, oh, this is nice, and then like you see bits where she's like in a dungeon or something, you're like, oh, what is that?
What's going on with that?
What's going on? It's probably fine. It'll probably be fine.
And then what else?
Speaking of fine, Nyaya Living Cat, we also watched episode 3 today.
Speaking of shows with one joke, I feel like, I mean, not Nyaya the Living Cat has one joke, but there's a little bit more within that parameters of that joke. They're able to squeeze out a little bit more variety than something like Nukitashi, even though a lot of times the joke is that it's cats, it's a zombie movie with cats, and everyone's like, oh my god, they're so cute.
So cute. The thing I appreciate most about it is like the references and like the otaku stuff, because it's very like, this person, whoever fucking wrote this, I don't know how fucking involved the director was in the actual writing, like the detailed side of Takashi Miike.
Yeah,
I don't know how involved Miike, he was in the actual granular part of the writing. But like when they're talking about like, oh, this is like what they used to use as cat food, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
That's like a weird like historical reference out of like something like Edomai Elf.
Yeah, like I like that stuff. I'm like, this is an interesting part of the show for me. And I also like the little references that they do, kind of like a Don to Don thing we talked about with that, where like that cat like goes up to the fucking weird curly haired girl that you're like, oh, is that just supposed to be Ripley? Is that just,
yeah,
like,
I know,
the
that's
alien
what
reference?
I was like, wait a minute, because like in episode 1 there's a character and I'm looking at him,
episode 2,
and I'm going, no, in episode 1 I'm looking at him going,
That fucking Freddie Mercury. And as like as I'm about to type that in the chat, he like does like the hey oh
hey oh
god damn it, it's fucking Freddie Mercury. And then yeah, I just immediately saw him and was like, that's
Freddie Mercury.
I did not realize that that character in this episode was meant to be like an alien reference up until the alien reference actually happened. I'm like, that's so stupid.
So schizo.
That is like, yeah, like the best stuff is it when it really like leans into how the fact it's cats. Whether they just lean into that the most, that's what makes it fun. You have that kind of strong gap between the cats are zombies, but they're very cute and everyone acknowledges them as such, but they're still like losing their minds and panicking.
Well, like it also had the fucking cucumber thing in this episode, which was interesting to me. Cause like, you always see like the stupid, like viral videos of cats jumping at cucumbers. And I was like, but like, cause I don't have cats. I don't really interact with
cats. You're allergic to cats.
I'm also allergic to dogs. You see how far that got me. I'm actually worse allergic to cats. So like cats will actually put me like anaphylactic shock.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like the girl in the show.
Like the girl in the show. Dogs will kind of make me sneeze, but like if they lick me, I will break into hives.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. It's just the proteins. My body cannot handle dog and cat proteins, apparently.
Now don't get any cum on you.
What?
What?
We're not, no.
Movie, whatever you do, do not get dog cum on your skin. Okay?
It's a matter of life and death. All right. I know it will be difficult.
You cannot be sucking off dogs, okay? It's going to like put hives in your throat.
Listen, I'm not a white girl, okay? I don't fuck, I don't even fucking remember we were talking about
the cats in Night of the Living Cat. I feel like this probably would have worked better as just like a movie, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know how like they're gonna like whip 12 episodes out of this premise.
Yeah, I don't know how you're gonna stretch that out to 12. I mean, I'm already kind of like, this is wearing a bit thin. Like after episode one, I'm like, this is wearing a bit thin. Like, oh, I love cats. Like, I'll stick with it. Oh yeah, the cucumber thing. Like where it's like, oh, cats are afraid of cucumbers because visually it's reminiscent visually of a snake. And I'm like, oh, I guess that makes sense. I never really thought about that. So like when it does like, that kind of stuff and it's like informative, I'm
like
into
talking
it.
About like the like cat eyesight.
Yeah.
And how that works.
I'm like, I'm into this, but like the horror, the actual like bulk of the show, I'm just kind of like, I don't care. It's fine, whatever. Yeah, this is a great way to die. I'm getting smothered by a cat. Okay, it's a funny joke. I get it.
Fine.
It's fine. They explain like the cat thing or like why they're afraid of water. I'm like, that's kind of interesting.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A lot
yeah,
of stuff is not necessarily like revolutionary information, but it is like funny. It is nice that they have such a reverence for cats that all this stuff is compiled into the show.
Which is what Rory Rocks does, and I think Rory Rocks also does a lot better job at that as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the educational stuff, it looks really good, and then also kind of, like, there's a really nice, like, emotional core to the show that I think is probably, like, the main sell for me. Like in the latest episode where it's, they're, like, panning for gold, and initially it's, like, the main character is, like, the joke is like, oh, she's doing it because she wants the money. But after doing it for so long and accumulating this gold, she's like, no, this is like meaningful to me. I want to keep it. Yeah.
Well, it's not even gold.
Three rocks are great.
It was sulfate. I forget exactly what.
It was sulfate initially, sulfate? And then they were panning for gold.
Well, they were panning for gold, but like the stuff that they were finding was not gold because it was, they're like, oh, this is square.
Initially, yeah, but like at like the end of the episode, because it's like a big thing of gold that got like squished down, and talking about like how gold like will accumulate at the bottom of this hole because it's heavier,
right?
Yeah,
Rory Rocks is fun. It's very well. It's like the Onimai of slice of life autism. Like you take Joe Pera talks with you or whatever, and combine it with Onimai.
It's interesting because like the show is very horny, but again, it's not like a horny situation like an Onimai. It's just kind of like the way the characters are drawn or dressed or posed, and like the camera angles and stuff.
It's like the perspective is horny, but the show is not. Yeah.
Fuck do you make like rocks horny? All right. I mean, apart from like, I don't know, Land of the Lustrous.
It's like you're in, a university course and you're learning about minerals, and your professor is just really hot, like late 20 something, and like she always wears like really low cut shirts, and you're just horny the entire time looking at her, but like she's teaching you about rocks.
I'm wearing a low cut shirt, and then she just has really tight jeans and a button up shirt that's tucked in.
Listen, the tight jeans, she knows what she's doing with those tight jeans. All right, there's no reason those jeans have to be that tight.
If only Grumpy Ojisan were around to experience this renaissance of cute girls going outdoors anime.
Hey, we're talking about Ruri Rocks.
He like comes back and like everyone thought you were dead. Just talking about Ruri Rocks of all things.
Let's make a fucking Grumpy Ojisan revival video talking about Ruri Rocks.
Who did that Grumpy Ojisan like retrospective video?
Pico.
Yeah, I never watched that video.
I watched it. It was pretty good. Interesting that he like found the guy. I've never like been that autistically into fucking Grumpy G-san that I wanted to dox the guy.
No, not really. I respect people's privacy.
It was interesting that like they were able to find that like they were potentially part of the fan sub scene and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did you watch episode 2 of Turkey yet?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Did I watch it yet? I watched it in the group watch.
Did you? I thought you weren't there. Oh, no, you were there. I just thought you were asleep. And I was like, why the fuck weren't you saying anything?
I don't know. I didn't feel like talking at the time. It's
get a better idea of where it's going now, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how I don't know if they're going to do more of the bowling in the real world, like using it as a weapon. Like it's kind of that like, oh, this so is kind funny. Of inventive. Like it's kind
it
of
was
interesting.
So stupid. It made no sense. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing
it
ever.
Was stupid, but like it was interest. Like I can appreciate like the one-off thing of doing it, I guess. If that is like where it's going to do more of through the whole show, it's going to be very questionable.
I'm curious. I mean, it's the one original anime we're watching this season, like new original anime, which is kind of a little bit depressing, honestly.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely locked in to see where it goes, especially because it's like fairly violent as well. Like the start of episode 2, we just see someone get cleanly decapitated. Like, oh god.
Oh god. To like. Did fucking does a bowling move and is able to knock out a guy by running over his foot with a 10-pound bowling ball.
Well, she throws the bowling ball, it hits his foot, and then it bounces off his foot and like knocks out
the other guy's foot.
Yeah.
Like it like somehow like traveled up the guy, which is this doesn't even make sense.
It makes literally no sense, but at the same time, like that's awesome.
Well, I mean, like, they act like the bowling ball is, like, a fucking 50-pound tungsten steel thing, and that would crush someone's foot. Like, if you drop a bowling ball on your foot, yeah, that hurts, but, like, a bowling ball rolling over your foot would not hurt that bad. I mean, it'd be like, ah, that kind of sucked. What the fuck?
Listen, Ernie, these girls are really strong. You don't know what kind of force they're putting, like, the spin that they're putting on the ball, all right?
That force was enough that like just hitting his foot was enough to knock out a
crush
man.
It and then knock out a bounce and knock out another. Listen, all right, that has to have a lot of force.
Hitting someone in the face would knock them out with a bowling ball.
But
that
it
is,
has
that
to
is
bounce
fine.
Off a guy's foot first.
Yeah, that part is like the fuck is going on.
It's just some guy's like face on like the ground. Yeah, you put a bowling ball in his head, you're gonna give him at least a concussion. Worse.
That'd be terrible. Holy shit. Can you imagine being like strapped in a bowling alley? You see a bowling ball flying at your face.
Oh my god.
That'd be a terrible way to go.
You know what? You know what? Here's my bet. The whole show is just gonna be one long joke about how insane bowling alley animations are getting.
Have you been to a bowling alley?
Do you not know that meme?
No.
Oh, hold on.
All right, Grandpa, here's the meme, Grandpa.
Let me see.
Oh, the animations?
Yeah, that they play like whenever you get a strike.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh my god. There's no way that's real. There's no way that's real.
9/11.
So what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that all? The whole show of Turkey is just a long 9/10.
Yeah, yeah, they explain this.
It's just a long, elaborate graphic that is playing out
yeah.
at a bowling alley.
Oh, that's true. that's exactly what the show needs to be. I remember listening right now. I was really annoyed because we're watching stuff and laughing, giving them no context for what we're looking at.
I guess speaking of originals, have you watched any of the new Panty and Stocking other than the first episode?
No. Have you?
I did watch episode 2.
How was it?
Panty and Stocking.
More of the same.
Yeah. So if you like that, you'll like it.
Yeah, but I mean...
I don't know. I've never been able to like get into Panty and Stocking on the level that some people have. Like, it's just the thing.
I think maybe between that and like Nuki Tachi, I think that kind of humor just, I'm not even really that, I didn't really even find like Ichizoku reviewers that funny. I think that kind of humor just doesn't register for me as being funny. I think to me I'm just kind of like, yeah, all right, I'm gonna go beat off.
I don't know, I like Ichizoku reviewers a lot, and I thought this was the
I don't know. My standard for like gross out or crass or like sex jokes is Freddy Got Fingered. Where again, we need that to me, Freddy Got Fingered, if there ever was a full measure, it's Freddy Got Fingered.
I mean the bit with like the Yu-Gi-Oh knockoff was, I don't know, it's kind of like
Transformers episode.
It's kind of like 15 years out of date at this point. I feel like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm watching like an all grown up Rugrats fucking Simpsons parody.
Episode? Yeah.
Not a parody.
That's
the Simpsons
that's Rugrats, the only episode, you know, of all grown up anyone remembers.
The Pokemon spinoff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was specifically Yu-Gi-Oh, but yeah.
It's not far off from that parody wise, where they just are playing this game that has like fucking arbitrary rules no one fucking knows. And she's like, I'm going to play this card and combine it with this dildo. And then he fucks himself in the ass and gets making videos.
I did see this post of like people, 48, like trigger employees, like their desks and stuff. And I was like, I saw this and it's like, oh, this is a very pretty clean desk. This is the desk of like Sai Ohtani at Trigger. It's like, look at the background. And it's like, what the fuck is going on back there? Jesus Christ.
Guys, you'll need to take these figures home, okay? You don't need to have all these figures sitting around where you can't even literally use your desk. This is insane.
Yeah, there's stuff around your chair, dude. How are you? What the fuck are you doing? How are you animating in this? Where are you drawing?
Kind of wish I had a job that I could just do this stupid shit.
I have a job. I could probably do this because I have like a regular desk job. It's just all of my anime figures are like horny. I don't know if I could really reasonably bring in like my bunny girl figures and stuff.
I have plenty of figures I could bring that's not horny. It's just I work at a job in an industry that would highly look down on people for bringing fucking figures to work.
One of the girls in my office, when she got set up, it was like literally like the next day. It was just like, oh my god, your entire cube is pink. Holy fucking shit. How did you do that? Everything's color-coded. What the hell?
I would just set fire to that cubicle.
No, I was impressed because it's like, goddamn, you have a way better eye for design than I ever will. There's literally nothing in my desk right now except for a bunch of papers and then two like Hello Kitty gachapon things I got in Philly when I was with Gil.
I mean, it depends on what kind of pink. If it's a vibrant pink, like hot pink or something, that would fucking be
no. No, it's like a lighter, like pastel kind of pink.
That's probably all right then.
Yeah, yeah. It's not eyesore pink. No, it all looks very nice.
Just walk in, just like fucking assault on your eyes. Like,
I was just shocked how quickly she got set up because it was like the next day. I'm like, how the fuck?
Nah.
Pro.
Yeah, I should just start bringing things into work to like display and be like, this is my personality. And it's just like all completely degenerate. I get fired because like you're not having the stuff in the workplace.
I would have like, if I could bring stuff, like if it had to be, if it was acceptable, quote, unquote, I would bring like fucking, I don't know, JoJo or Berserk figures or.
Yeah, even, maybe, like, Dark maybe Souls, I'll go through like some like, Soul, figures.
Bloodborne or whatever.
Also a question of like how I like bring it because I like commute to, like I don't have a car, so I'd have to like take that shit on like the train and bus with me and be like, just have like these like massive boxes.
You just take like one occasionally.
Just taking one at a time, basically.
I mean, I would not do that because like I'd have to work somewhere like Trigger where like everyone's into anime already. And it's just like acceptable. If I worked any job that was just like a desk job, I would not do this. I would just be like, what are you talking about?
I mean, people all like in my office do decorate their cubes to be like, you know, reflective of their specific interests. But yeah, maybe bringing in like the horny anime figures is a bit too far. I guess I could use this as an excuse to get into Gunpla. My thing about getting into Gunpla though is,
costs a lot of money.
Well, and also I would be very like I'm so nerd, like you don't understand. When I bought Beyblades and I had to put on little sticker decals, I was like, this is like performing surgery.
My problem with Gunpla, right, is like I don't want to just do snap and locks. I don't want to just put the fucking thing together without like I would want it to look good, which by extension would then mean like doing the no seam stuff. So
and like all the paint and things, and it's like
yeah, you have to use like the liquid concrete. File it down, then you'd have to use a base coat, and that would require me going and getting the spray gun, the paint gun. Then you have to buy a bunch of paint that you're only going to use like probably once, and this is like I don't know if I want to. I'm not at a point
for the people that are into that. It's probably really awesome, but
it's not like a condemnation. It's just like I don't have the like set up to do all this shit.
Yeah, like I don't have like a desk and stuff to do that with, or like space for all that stuff. It's like you need to have like a separate room to do that, or like that is like your main thing. Whereas like I have one desk in my apartment, it has my computer on it.
I mean, I know there are places that do like Gunpla events where you could take a kit and probably like share stuff with people. Still a lot of investment.
I guess Otakon's coming up. I guess we'll see what I can. Maybe I'll find something at Otakon.
Well, not even like Otakon. Not even like a convention. Like I'm sure like there's like comic books or hobby stores near you that probably do that. It's usually like a weekly
maybe there's like a shocking lack of that stuff in DC.
I would check it out because like I went to a random like a comic book, like it's just like Spider-Man comics and like big Spider-Man statues, Batman shit like that. Like it was just a comic book store, and like while I was in there, I like they have like events and stuff. I was like, oh, what are the events they had? And they'd had like Warhammer painting stuff, and then they had like a Gunpla painting event thing. So it's like,
okay,
they just do it random places.
Maybe like go to like a tabletop store because like those are really big now. There are no video game stores in DC proper. There's one in Silver Spring that's cool, but none in like the actual like DC area.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of tabletop stores, like at least like two or three that I'm aware of, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I guess people really like tabletop stuff now. People like board games, fucking nerds. I don't like board. I can't get into board games because I play with other people, and I don't like doing that.
I just watch cartoons. No. I feel like my problem is I don't have hobbies that engage with other people. Like I talk to people about anime, and that's basically about it.
That's my main grift. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have anything outside of this. What do you think I do most of my evenings?
I mean,
I sit at home and I watch anime.
I'll like buy a figure, put a display together, but that's not like a communal thing. And I don't know how I feel about like doing like a group watch, like go to an anime club and first off, I'd have to find one. Like, who the fuck does like group watches as an adult? Like, if you're like a college anime club, that's one thing, but like,
sure, but like, I mean, I don't want to go to a college anime club as someone who is not a college student.
No, I'm not even saying going to that. I'm just saying like, that's easy to find as a college, because like you have a college anime club.
Yeah, yeah.
But like as an adult, it's like there's probably like maybe one club or something, and they probably meet some dude's house, and it's just like, I don't know.
There's an anime bar, anime themed bar in DC, and by anime themed bar, I think it means they just have like neon katakana signs in the bar, and maybe like an Akira poster.
There's a shocking lack of ways to like connect with people over a hobby in your area.
In my area,
in any like outside of like Japan, I guess, because like Japan would be more concentrated.
Yeah.
But like, you could go to like an Evangelion bar or like a Mecha bar or something, and you're gonna find people that are more into your niche interest. Here, it's like an anime bar, and then like, did you watch the newest episode of My Hero Academia? And it's like, I'm not into that. And I'm not into trying to make friends to like convince them to watch a Japanese boy who draws, and I'll go watch season 8 of My Hero Academia or something at this point.
Yeah, I went to an anime club in DC once, and that's basically what my experience was. I'm like, so you guys know this thing or this thing? And I'm like, no, they were like talking about like Jujutsu Kaisen or JoJo or something, and then I was like, all right, yeah. And then I kind of bullshit him, and I was like, there's no reason for me to go back there.
I'm never coming back here.
The coolest conversation I have is with random people at Otakon in lines, because then it's usually with like older guys, because then it's like, okay, they've been around the block, and they're just gonna like talk my ear off about Macross, and I'm like, dude, hell yes.
So you're saying you're a grave robber? You go seek out the old OG-sans in the line. You start risen them up.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, what? What brings you here, oh sagely one?
Like, whatever you are.
That is like one of the things you like at any convention. It's like when you do see like older people walking around, it's like you either got into this recently or you've been into this shit for decades, and there's no in between.
No, there's no in between, but it's not you got into it recently. It's either you're here escorting your child or you've been into this forever. It could be both.
Could be both.
But there's no in between. There's no one that was like,
there's no in between.
40 years old or 50 years old that got into anime recently.
No, I'm talking like I've seen people in like their 50s and 60s.
Yeah. That's what I was like. There's no one that old that just got into anime. It's either you've been into anime for ages or this is your child.
Yeah, you're here with your grandkids because they really like My Hero Academia or whatever. Or you actually fucking watched Robotech while it was airing and on TV.
No in between.
No in between. You remember Star Blazers. They caught it when it premiered on cable.
You start going up to old people. You're like, so you remember Star Blazers? And they're like, no. And you're like, oh, where's your kid?
They're like, over there.
Oh, they're there in the line.
Like, why are you? The realistic response would be, why are you asking me where my kid is, you fucking pedophile?
But no, it's for a bit. No, I swear.
No, you know what I'm saying? As I'm like being escorted out. You don't understand. I have a podcast.
It was a bit.
Trust me.
It was just a prank, stickers.